Do you miss the mob lifestyle?
You know, I'd be lying if I say I didn't at times, but you know, people ask me all the time, they say, do you miss the money? Do you miss the power and all of that? You know, to a degree. I mean, look, it's great when you have anything you can want at your disposal because you got enough money to take care of it. I had my own jet plane. I had a Lear 25A. I had a Bell helicopter. I had a couple of big automobile agencies that I owned, so I drove whatever car I want, and you know, basically had homes all over the country. So, yeah, that's nice. But you know what I really miss? I miss the camaraderie that we had with the guys. You know, what was so attractive to me about that life is, hey, when you come in, it's a brotherhood. Don't ever worry about your wife, your daughter, your sister. We got their backs wherever you go. You know, if somebody hurts you, we got somebody to back you up. That's very powerful, very, very powerful. And I miss that kind of camaraderie that I had. So, you know, I also nice, you know, going into the back room. I'm gonna tell you this, for those of you that saw Goodfellas, Henry Hill, he never walked in through the back kitchen of the Copacabana, I can tell you that now. But I did many times, first with my dad and then later on with myself. You know, it's nice to go in and get a ringside table and be treated that way. So to say I didn't miss it, you know, I'd be lying.
How do you learn the art of the sit-down? Because that's part politics, like part journalism. Sounds like some of the interviews I've had when I was running to be mayor. Like they're trying to trip you up. If you say the wrong one thing, that's the thing that'll kill you. Like, how do you learn how to negotiate that?
A lot of it is experience. You know, you make mistakes in the beginning, but I was fortunate. I had my dad who schooled me well, and you know, who taught me basically how to conduct myself in these things. And you know, one thing, Brian, the major thing my dad taught me that has worked for me my entire life, and in a serious way, I'll get into it, is be a good listener. Don't run your mouth. Don't be the first to, you know, present your, just be a good listener. Let the other guy make a mistake. Think, you know, hard, be prepared going in. And for me, I became a major target of law enforcement, major target. They never got me on tape saying anything wrong, never. There was one undercover operation they had me on. They had 83 tape recordings on me. It was this whole thing with Don King and Al Sharpton. They couldn't use one of them because I never made a mistake on the tape because I was always listening. I was careful how I spoke. And I credit my father in listening to him. You know, okay, I understand it, Dad. You know, so you got to be careful who you talk to. Same thing in a sit down. Let the guy present himself. You know, I always say this too. You go into a meeting, sometimes you're the smartest guy in the room, but you don't want anybody to know it. Let them think you're a dummy, you don't know anything. And they're yapping away, right? It's a big advantage. There's other times when you're not the smartest guy in the room, but if you keep your mouth shut, nobody knows that. They don't know it. So you let them talk, commit themselves. By the time they're finished, then you can become the smartest guy in the room because they told you everything, you know. Here's the thing, it's all about the media, it's all about entertainment. I mean, look, when The Godfather came out, guys on the street were acting different because it elevated the persona of guys on the street in a big way. I'm telling you, I witnessed it, I watched it. All of these movies, I speak to young kids. Michael, come on, man. You know, you had the cars, you had the money, you had all the women, you had people catering to you all the time. I said, I know. That was Goodfellas, right? Did you watch the second half of the movie? Who got killed? Who lost everything? Who went to jail? They don't see that. They only see the money, the power, and that's an aphrodisiac to people. Brian, when I first started speaking, I get at it, I was pretty well known in New York. We had a hot name. Maybe on the West Coast, Florida, yes, because where I got indicted there too. In the Midwest, Texas, nobody knew who I was. They put on a marquee, the mob guy is gonna be there, standing room only. People are interested in the lifestyle. It's all the media, Hollywood, entertainment, the news. I mean, John Gotti, come on. You know, how many people wanted to be John Gotti? How many people wanted to be Michael Corleone?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We don't call it. It's immediate.
Because they see the upside, but they don't see what comes.
They don't see the, and they don't pay attention to it.
You actually had a lot of things going on with, you had stuff going on with dealerships, you own all these different things with cars.
Patrick, I bought a Mazda agency when you couldn't give a Mazda away.
I remember reading
because
that.
Because the Wankel engines were exploding, you couldn't give one away. And I built that into the biggest agency on Long Island, as far as Mazda was concerned. And it was a lot of work, and I had to do things differently, but I was able to build it. I think I had a head for business, I had a knack for it. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not the smartest business guy around because there's a lot of things in business I don't enjoy doing. But there were certain talents that I had that worked well for me. And I always tell people this, when you're in business, I don't think it's a good thing to micromanage because nobody can do everything good. But here's the deal, do what you do best and delegate the rest. And then be a good, you know, watcher of these people. Make sure you get the most out of them. That's how you do it.
You know, it's you can't hang out with the wrong people and be accountable to the wrong people, continue to do the wrong things and think it's gonna end up okay. You know, it's the definition of insanity, you know? Keep doing the same wrong thing, think you're gonna have a different outcome. So, you know, and I look, in this life I have found out, number one, we are who we hang out with. We're judged by the people we surround ourselves with and who we are accountable to. When I was on the street, I was accountable to my oath, to my boss. I was a criminal. Every day of my life on the street, I'm violating the laws of God and the laws of man, because that's who I was accountable to. Now, you know, with the grace of God, I've been able to, you know, transform that part of my life. I'm accountable to God, to my wife, to my children, to people that trust me. So I'm on the right path. I try to stay on it. But, you know, remember this, you know, it's what I tell these guys too. You can take the boy out of Brooklyn. Can't always take Brooklyn out of the boy. I have the same instincts that I've had. They don't go away. You know, sometimes I want to deal with things the wrong way, but I catch myself, you know, as much as I can. But this is a tough life to navigate.
It's a violent life at times. You're part of the life, you're part of the violence. There's no question about it. But murder in that life was taken very seriously.
It was taken very seriously.
You couldn't just go around rampant killing people. I don't like this guy, I want to kill him. You know, a made guy had a lot of respect. And if that guy was in trouble, first of all, the only one that could order a murder was the boss. He had a sanction. You couldn't do it without his okay.
Not even a made man or a cowboy. It has to be the boss.
It has to be the boss. And there was a lot of discussion about it. It wasn't that, hey, this guy's got to go. Okay, go get him tomorrow. That's the end of that. No, it was taken very, very seriously because remember, the life is built on respect. When you earn your stripes and you come into that life, you're a respected guy. So if something you did wrong, well, they're going to make sure it was wrong. And then if you violate the oath, you know, you're going to pay the consequences. But it was something taken very seriously. You know, a lot of people think that we just went around and random killing people and killing people on the street.
That's what the movies tell you, though. The movies make it seem like that, yeah.
I mean, I certainly didn't witness that in my lifestyle.
You didn't witness that in your life?
Not random stuff.
Oh, random.
It was taken very seriously.
Would you live the life all over again?
Now, because I'm a guy of faith now, and I've turned my life around, I can never go back to that because I know that I did a lot of things that I regret during that time. But take that away, would I want to go back and at least have that experience again? I'm being honest, and I might get ridiculed for this, but I think I might. To have the experience, because look, you know, I learned things in that life that were invaluable to me throughout my life. And if you take away the bad stuff and just put me back in that environment around my guys and some of the, I think I might, Patrick. And again, I hope I'm explaining this right, because
you're gonna have 50,000 young kids right now go become mobsters.
I don't want that.
You know, Valuetainment produced 22,000 new mobsters in the world.
Let me make that clear.
Let's give the disclaimer as well.
Let me make that clear. I said it's an evil life. I said you're selfish if you put your family through that. You're gonna end up in prison or dead, one of the two. Government's got it all. And it's morally wrong. I mean, there's no question about it. But look, there was some perks in that life, you know, that I enjoyed. I got to be honest with you. Now, the price you pay as a result of the short time that you're going to have those perks is terrible, because you're devastated for the rest of your life. So it doesn't make sense. I speak to a lot of young kids. I speak to gangbangers. I go into detention halls. I have an influence over them, obviously. And I tell them straight out, you're going to be in prison for the rest of your life, or you're going to die. It's one of the two things. And they'll say to me, but Michael, you know, I saw you in Goodfellas, and they had the money, they had the power, they had the girls. I said, yeah, but did you watch the whole movie, or did you just stop in the middle? I said, who got killed? Who went to jail? Who became an informant? Whose wife left them? Whose kids suffered? Why don't you see that part? And you know what? They don't. They only focus on it. They don't realize it's very short-lived. And at, in the end, you're going down. And so, please, anybody listening, parent, don't get upset with me. I speak to these kids and I tell them the truth. It's a bad life. Don't ever pursue it. Don't ever make the mistakes that I did.